Let's open our Bibles to the book of Acts, please, this evening. Book of Acts, chapter 1, reading from verses 1 through 14. Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, when they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly towards heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey. And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room, where abode both Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas the brother of James. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary the mother of Jesus and with his brethren. May the Lord bless the reading of God's word for us this evening. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to your presence this evening. Lord, we want to listen from you. We want to hear your voice, O Father. Lord, it is your word, O Father, through which we live, as your word says. And it is your word, O Father, which leads us, guides us, O Father, both in our personal lives and also in our ministries. Even this evening, O Father, as we open up your word, I pray you please speak to us. And Lord, help us so that we would be challenged from your word, O Father. Committing ourselves, this session, into your mighty hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The book of Acts, as we all know, was written by Luke, the physician. And he is especially writing in this portion, what we have read, about Jesus Christ meeting with his disciple for the last time before he ascended up to heaven. And as he was meeting with these people, he gave them the Great Commission. So we read about that Great Commission in the Gospels, both in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, and also in Mark chapter 16. We see that Jesus Christ, before he went up to heaven, he gave that commission to the disciples. So Luke, in the book of Acts, he is kind of reiterating the same thing, writing to Theophilus. And he is explaining the things that happened at the Mount Olivet before Jesus Christ ascended to heaven. So he was discussing about what Jesus told his disciples, the things, you know, that mentioned by him with his disciples. I want us to look at verse 8 especially this evening, and of course we'll be looking at other verses also, where it says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." Ye shall be witnesses unto me. That is the responsibility. That was the commission given to the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, as we all know, it is not just the commission to those disciples only, but that's the commission given to all of us as believers. So as someone said in India, the Lord doesn't call everybody to preach, but the Lord calls everybody to be a witness. And it is not just a command, it's more than a command. It's not just merely command. We have to take that to our heart, because it is the heartbeat of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is because Jesus Christ loved us, he came down to this earth and he gave his life so that he would save us, mankind. In the same way, we also love with that same love. As Apostle Paul says, walk ye in the same love which Christ has showed upon us. In Ephesians chapter 5 verse 2, talks about that, walking in Christ's love. So we also must go, and we also must preach the gospel or be witness, give witnesses to the people who need it. So this evening, I want us to notice from this passage about the essentials for carrying out this great commission. What are the essentials? What are some of the important things that we should know as we witness to the people, or as we go out into the mission field? First of all, I want us to look at verse 3. It says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." One of the first essentials for going on missions is my personal experience of the gospel. I personally must experience the power of the gospel within me. So here he says, Luke, he's mentioning how Jesus kind of gave proofs that he was God. He raised from the dead, and he with the infallible proofs, he was showing himself to the people. So the apostles and the people around the Lord Jesus Christ, they saw Jesus alive, and they have personally experienced the power of the resurrection, because they have seen the resurrected Savior in front of them. So they knew that Jesus Christ is God. They knew that he was risen from the dead. They knew that he is God himself, sent from above. So every one of us, before we considering going into the mission field or going to be witnessing to the people, we must have that personal experience, that personal experience of the gospel, the power of the gospel within us, that Jesus Christ is Lord. We personally must experience the saving power of the Lord Jesus Christ in us. And we personally must have that closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. These disciples, they were with the Lord Jesus Christ, like 3.5 years, and they saw him being crucified. They saw him being buried, and they saw him being resurrected. And they know the power of that resurrection because they have seen Jesus Christ. Now, based on what they have experienced, the Lord says, now you go. You go with that power. You go with that the personal experience that you have, the gospel that has worked in you. So you go with that power. So in order for us to go
and bear witness to the people in order for us to go preach the gospel, in order for us to go into the mission field, first thing we all must have is that personal experience of that gospel working in us. And the second essential, in verse 4, Jesus says, "And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father." He says, you wait for the promise of the Father. You wait in Jerusalem. What they were to do waiting in Jerusalem? We know that answer in verse 14. It says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." They went back to Jerusalem. They went into an upper room. And there, Bible says, that they all continued with one accord in supplication, in prayer and supplication. So the second essential for going out into the mission field or being witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, we must have the prayer power, what we call prayer. We must be people of prayer. We cannot just rush and say, now I'm saved, I have to go and preach the gospel. Yes, I mean, that enthusiasm should be there, but we have to first, you know, wait in prayer before we go into the mission field. Bible talks about how prayer is very, very important for Christians. You know, we start our Christian life with prayer. The Bible says, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So that prayer, you know, that's how we start our Christian journey. And then we lead our Christian life with prayer. And especially when we're considering ministry, especially when we're considering missions, you know, Bible says that Jesus, after he was baptized, he went into the wilderness and he prayed for 40 days and nights, fasting. He did not, you know, just rush into the ministry. No, he waited. He waited and prayed for 40 days. In the same way, you know, preparing yourself in prayer is essential for missions, essential for you to become a witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go out and witness to the people about Jesus Christ. Prayer is very, very essential also. Bible has a lot to talk about prayer. Of course, you know, someone said prayer is something which is spoken more often, you know, talked more about, but done very less. So we need to do more prayer. So the second essential, I would like to, you know, go down because we don't have much time here. So the second essential for missions is prayer. What is your prayer life? You know, there was in a missions conference, you know, we were in a missions conference, and then there was a song, I don't know, maybe you know that song. "Lord, put me a soul in my heart and reach that soul through me." I don't know whether that's the chorus. Do you know, sir? Yeah. So when I heard that, like, "Lord, put a soul in my heart," like, put one soul in my heart and reach that soul through me. That's a prayer. So you need to have someone whom you are praying for before you actually go and reach them with the gospel, right? So prayer is very, very essential for the missions. And thirdly, in verse 8, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you." You must have the power of the Spirit, Holy Spirit of God also. So you must have personal experience of that gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Secondly, you must have prayer. And thirdly, you must have the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In the book of Acts, we see God's people were used by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. In the very second chapter, we see that, you know, when everybody was kind of confused why these people are speaking in different languages, Bible says Peter being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, stood up and preached the gospel. He did not preach a long sermon. He didn't have first point, second point, third point, sub points, examples, illustrations, nothing, right? He just straight away preached the gospel. If you read that sermon, you can hardly finish it within 5 minutes maybe. But with that sermon, 3,000 people came to the saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. You cannot do anything in your own strength. I cannot go into India or into the villages of India just depending upon my own strength, depending upon my own, maybe, you know, degrees from the Bible college. That won't really help. I mean, I must have that prayer life. And thirdly, I must go with the power of the Holy Spirit of God. That is why every day when we get up, you know, I pray personally, Lord, fill me with your Spirit today. Take control of my life. That should be our prayer. And as we go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, He will open us the opportunities. He will bring the people on our paths. And He will work in and through us to reach these people. Without the power of the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, because it's the power, it's the Holy Spirit of God that convicts people of sin, righteousness, and the judgment. So you cannot really do anything on your own. But it is the power of the Spirit that convicts people, regenerates people, saves people. So go in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. And not only that, in verse 8, it says, you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. You see a pattern there. Pattern also is very, very important for missions. You start from Jerusalem. Then you work your way out, like Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Dr. Sproul, when he was alive, he used to share about missions a lot, of course. He gave us an illustration. One man in his church, he came up to him and said, sir, I want to go on a mission field. How can I apply to be a missionary under your mission board, International Baptist Missions? Dr. David Sproul asked him, it seems, sir, have you led anybody to the Lord lately? And that brother said, no, sir. Have you witnessed to anybody lately? No, sir. Then he said, you're not eligible to go on a mission field. Because you start from Jerusalem. You start from your own area. Start from Maranatha Baptist Church here, right? You work your way out. Go to a different town, maybe different state. Then think about global missions. If you're not a witness where you are, then don't think about going on somewhere else to be a missionary. You are a missionary. Be a missionary right there where you are. That is the pattern. That's Bible pattern. It's not something mission board, you know, invented. No, it's a Bible pattern. You be a witness in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, to the uttermost part of the earth. Pattern also is very, very important for becoming a missionary. And finally, one more thing, and I will come to the conclusion. In verse 11 onwards, it says, verse 10, and while they looked steadfastly towards heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you in heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. It's talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, right? As Jesus Christ ascended to heaven, and these disciples, they were gazing into the sky. And there was, two men stood by them, and then they were telling, like, why are you gazing into heaven like that? The same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as you have seen him go into heaven. You must have that perception in your mind that Jesus Christ is coming back. In order for you and for me to be burdened to go out and be a witness, that Christ's second coming must be, you know, always ringing in our ears. Jesus Christ is coming. I must do something while there's still opportunities open. Jesus Christ is coming. I must go. It is true. Most of the times, you know, if we don't see the urgency, then we don't really react. You know, we don't react. If you see the urgency, we see the need, then we react. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. So you must pray, and you must consider going. And if you're not able to go, you send those who wants to go or who are called to go. So keep the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in your minds and act urgently. You have to do something urgently, either going or sending. Apostle Paul says, no, how can they hear without a preacher go there and preach? And how can they go without being sent? So whether you go or send, that is how we do the missions. So these are the five essentials that we find in these verses. Your personal experience, salvation experience, and your personal gospel experience, your personal experience that Jesus Christ, your personal faith, belief in Jesus Christ, that he is God himself. He was a virgin born and also lived a sinless life, died on the cross of Calvary, buried and rose again on the third day, ascended up to heaven, and he will come back again on his second coming. So you must have that personal conviction because there are proofs in the Bible. So you must have that personal experience. And then secondly, prayer and the power of the Holy Spirit of God and a pattern and also the perception that Jesus Christ is coming back. So what are we to do now? It is a commission to all of us. We have to go. We have to go. But for that, how is your personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? How is your prayer life? Are you being filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are you already witnessing right where you are in your own Jerusalem? And do you really believe wholeheartedly that Christ is coming back? And do you know, like, do you feel that urgency? It is true. The Lord is coming back. We don't know when. Disciples were asking, Lord, when? It's not up to you to know the times and seasons. But you know he's coming. So we have to do something for the Lord. We have to go, or we have to send.